You have your Bible, turn with me over to Ephesians 6. As the slide says, we're just looking at 16 and 17 this morning, but to help us remind us of the context here, we're going to just read starting back at verse 10. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to focus clearly upon what you have said. Help us to understand what Paul has written here to the Ephesian church, and through him, what you would say to us today. Our needs are as different as we are. We're all in this process of becoming like Christ, but none of us is there. None of us is where we were. None of us is where we will be. We all need to make progress if we are here this morning in Christ. So open up our hearts and our minds. Teach us, please, in the process. Help us to see Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul is finishing up the book of Ephesians, and he is applying all that he has said of who we are and who we belong to, and now he's told us that we're in the midst of a battle. It's not a battle that we signed up for. It's not a battle that we can choose. It's a battle that we are in because we have an enemy. We didn't choose him. He chose us. That is the enemy. And if we are going to live our lives as God has intended us to, as his children, we are the targets of the enemy's forces. Paul calls them schemes or methods. We need to be aware of them. And Paul says, put on the armor of God. Be well prepared. We've looked at the first three. I call the first one the tool belt of truths, then the breastplate of right choices, and fitted with the gospel of peace. Yes, I know it's a belt. Your Bible, my Bible, it says girdle. But it was something that was designed for the Roman soldier to keep everything together. I suggested a tool belt, because, and I don't think this does violence to God's word, because there are a lot of things that we need. They need to be handy. We don't necessarily need to have them in our hands right now, but they need to be available. It sounds kind of funny to refer to the tool belt of truths. But that's exactly it. We're not talking about the body of truth. We're talking about individual truths that we have stored away to be used at the right time. You maybe go to a tool store, to a kitchen store, to any kind of different retail outlet, and you're walking around and you're looking, and all of a sudden your eye, something catches your eye, and you think, boy, you know, that's something I could use. Maybe not every day. But I remember the last time I wished I had one of those and didn't. And so you get it, you put it in your tool belt. Well, that should be happening with you and me every day as we're reading God's Word. Well, I wish I had seen that sooner. Or I wish I had remembered that. I'm going to stick that in my tool belt. Might not need it today, but I remember the last time I needed it, wished I had it, and didn't. I'm going to stick it in my tool belt. One more truth. Doesn't necessarily have to be in my hands, but it needs to be handy. And then there is the breastplate of right choices. And here again, this is not the righteousness that we receive in Christ or of Christ, but rather it's the history of obedience, the history of right choices. Some of you have heard me say, unfortunately, from time to time, I'm reminded that I'm not a good historian, but we need to be. We need to remember that when we make right choices, the consequences are good. When we make wrong choices, the consequences are bad. And we need to just kind of build up that breastplate, that protection that comes from consistently making right choices. And then fitted with the gospel of peace. Here he's referring to the shoes, the sandals that the soldier would wear, fitted with the gospel of peace. Because in the gospel, we are finally at peace with God, and that gives us confidence. We live in a day when there's a pair of shoes for anything and everything. There are casual shoes, there are work shoes, there are hiking shoes, there are athletic shoes. There are athletic shoes for every little aspect of athletics you could pursue. Why? Because in almost everything that we need a good foundation. Whatever it is you're doing, you want to know that when you put your foot down, it'll stay where you put it. And it was the very same for the Roman soldier. And it's the very same for you and me in our spiritual lives. We need to know that as we move about, we're on a firm foundation. And we've got a good hold, a good footing. Because we want to, as Paul tells us twice, we want to stand firm. We don't want to be slipping and sliding. No. We want a good footing as we go through this spiritual battle. That will give us confidence. Now this morning we move on to these last three. The first is the shield of faith. He says in verse 16, in addition to all, everything we've said up to this point, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The Roman soldier regularly had two different types of shield available to him, depending upon his assignment. One was a small, maybe 18, 24-inch diameter shield. Held in one hand, very useful in hand-to-hand combat with a short sword or a long knife, depending upon how you like to think about it. Something about 18 inches, but up close and personal, protect, move very easily, plenty of room for your dominant hand working offensively. Defense, offense. But that's not the word Paul uses here. There was a second shield that was available to the Roman soldier, again, depending upon his assignment. It was about 3.5 feet wide and about 4.5 feet long. And in the first century, that was about what a Roman soldier would need to completely cover himself. If he was handed one of those, that meant he was on the front lines that day. That meant he would be part of that group that would form the front line barrier. Now, the good news is this is a big shield you can hide behind. Bad news is you're right up front. And everybody else is behind you. First, of course, the archers who would be taking advantage of this protection that you have provided, and they would be shooting over you. Hopefully everything coming, that big shield would protect you. Shield was probably wooden. And again, depending upon what the soldier had available to him, either what he was given or what he could afford to provide for himself, that wooden shield might be covered with leather, or it might be covered with metal. To not only protect him, to protect himself, but all of those behind him. And even as Paul says here in his illustration, the flaming arrows that were coming at the Roman soldier. So if that shield was covered with leather, it would be moistened, it would be wetted down before battle. So that as those flaming arrows, dipped in some kind of a petroleum and lit, and as soon as they would hit that, they would be extinguished. Because that was the danger. As that arrow would hit, it would literally explode. All that petroleum was. But with those shields, they were protected. So, as you leave the barracks, and you're handed that big shield, you know exactly where you're going to be, and you know exactly what your job is going to be that day. Paul says, if you're going to do battle against Satan, you're going to want to be able to handle that big shield. Because a lot of stuff is going to be coming at you. He's just flaming arrows. One of the most dangerous munitions that came at the Roman soldier in the first century. Because not only could it affect the one hit, those around them as well. And Paul is saying, remember, this is not a flesh and blood battle. This is not a battle for your salvation. This is a battle for your usefulness. Satan will take you out if he can, and you need to be well protected. Don't assume you can handle this on your own. What a great defense that we've been given. A shield of faith. Basic trust in God. Again, not the body of faith, but the history that comes with trusting God over and over again. Back in the old days, I would have handled this myself. Back in the old days, I would have been self-sufficient, self-dependent. But I have learned that I need to trust God. And when I trust Him, He always comes through. Maybe not in the way I thought He would, maybe not in the way I hoped He would, but He always comes through. I always know I can trust Him. And that's this big defense that I have against powers I can't see, but I know are there. The shield of faith. Then he says, take the helmet of salvation. First part of verse 17. Just a little word of explanation here. We're not talking about taking up and putting down our salvation. Just as with that tool belt of truth, just as with that breastplate of righteousness, just as that shield of faith, we're talking about the results of the position that we have because of our salvation. Let's think a little bit about that helmet the Roman soldier wore. Well, it's time. It was what we would today, I suppose, call a full face helmet. Protected his eyes, his ears, his nose, his mouth. Again, from up close, hand-to-hand combat. provided security for him. Just on a day-to-day basis, would you choose to give up your ability to see, to hear, to smell, to taste? Absolutely not. Battles, won or fought, based on a soldier's ability to see, hear, smell, taste. The things that are going on around you. So the Lord has helped to protect you. You and I have been saved. And that salvation provides for us security and assurance. What does Satan offer? Discouragement and doubt. Are you sure you're born again? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you sure you can trust God? Well, what can you see? What can you hear? What can you smell? What can you taste? The very presence of God. And everything he's doing, in many ways he's speaking, it's all there in front of me. My salvation protects me and reminds me of who I am and who I belong. So I wear this helmet of salvation. And finally, last part of verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. That's an interesting, because it's not so much the sword of the Spirit, it is, which is, the last part of verse 17, the Word of God. Now again, for the Roman soldier, whether he was involved in hand-to-hand combat or not, he would be issued a small sword or a big knife, depending on how you want to think of it, something about like this that required being close, or a much longer, double-edged sword that could be used not only to cut, but beat, and very lethal. Very useful, necessary. And at this time, even for the few cavalry officers that they would have had at that time, Paul says, take up the very same sword, the offensive weapon, the very same sword that the Spirit would use, the Word of God. Now, I understand what Paul is saying here, because hopefully you too have had this experience where in the midst of a challenge, in the midst of a discouragement, a doubt, a question, the Holy Spirit brings up God's word to your heart, to your mind. Remember the psalmist said, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, we go up against a problem, a temptation, a choice we need to make. Want to make the right one? What is the right choice? The Spirit within us, as godly men and women, he is there. He will remind us of what the Word of God says. That's his sword. That's his offense against the discouragement, the doubt that Satan would suggest to you. The temptation that he's offered to you. He will remind you of God's word. Hopefully that is our personal experience. But in God's word, we also have wonderful illustrations of how no one less or other than Jesus used the word of God. Now you would say, wait a minute, he's God. What does he need the Bible for? Well, as an example to us, when he went toe-to-toe with Satan, when he was on the cross, Could he have come up with some original words? Absolutely. But what did he do? Quoting scripture. Quoting his Bible. Why did he do that? Because he didn't know anything else? No. He did it so that you and I would have flesh and blood example of what Paul's talking about right here. Know and use the Word of God. Sometimes it is as simple as the right tool out of the tool belt. But sometimes you need something bigger. You need something more powerful. Where's that going to come from? Truths that you have stored away, principles that you have stored away, scripture you can quote, you know to be true. And you can wave that around. Imagine, hand-to-hand Roman battle, you against Satan, against demons. A battle we rush to, a battle we relish? Absolutely not. Only a fool rushes into battle with Satan. But we know we're in the midst of that battle. We need to be aware of that. Only a fool is confident in himself. That's why we have this armor. But we can do serious damage. Just like Jesus did when he went toe-to-toe with Satan. Satan tempted Jesus just as he tempts us. Maybe in other areas, more specifically, a little differently. But in each case, Jesus simply said, no. And here's why. Because he knew God's word. That's our power. That's our offense. That's the weapon. It's the only weapon here. A lot of defense. But the only weapon we have against discouragement, doubt, temptation, fear, the word of God. We need to know it. Whether you're an electrician, farmer, warrior. You see both sides. Your tools need to be in good shape. They need to have been well maintained. They need to have been used. You need to know them well. And they will serve you well. No different than this armor that God has given to us. The tool belt of truth. We need to know what that truth is, the content, the attitude with which it was given and the way it would be used. The breastplate of right choices. A history of obedience. And you know, there's a sense in which sometimes that's even bolstered by the dumb choices, the sinful choices we've learned from. Not the ones we continue to repeat, you know, because we keep thinking, well, I can do that and something different's going to happen. No. I learned, let's not do that again. That's not going to work. Well, that will help too. But making right choices, a history of obedience, then fitted with the gospel of peace. The fact that God loves me, that Jesus died for me, that he's coming back for me, that creates peace with God. I am at peace with God, and therefore I have confidence with him. It's not in me. My security is not in me. It's in him. That gives me confidence. I get to wear the helmet of salvation. The fact that I am born again, the fact of my salvation gives me assurance and security It is one of those frontline defenses against discouragement and doubt. You know what's going on between my ears? When I'm thinking, when I'm not thinking right, when I'm wondering what I should be doing. This helmet of salvation that should be reminding me of who I am, whose I am, who I belong to. And I have this great weapon, sword of the Spirit. It's his because he was a part of helping to create it. It was the Holy Spirit who moved holy men of God to write this powerful book. Jesus showed us how to use it, and he says it is yours to use as well. It's a limitless resource and blessing. But I need to know it and know how to apply it for it to be effective in my life. The truth is, we are all a part of the battle. The question is, where are we going to come out? It's not about salvation. It's not about losing your salvation, securing your salvation, earning your salvation, but how useful are you going to be in the battle that takes place from the time of your salvation to the time of your death, or the time in which God snatches you up out of this world. How useful are you going to be? If you want to be useful, put on the whole armor of God. Remember, right from the start, we understood this is not stuff we take up and put down if we're going to be useful, if we're going to be effective. We do that, don't we? There are times when we take off the tool belt of God's truth. I think I can handle this. There are times when it's just too heavy, too hot, we take off the breastplate of righteousness. We take our shoes off. There are times when we do that. But Paul says, don't. Put it on, leave it on. Because you're constantly, continually in the enemy's crosshairs. And you don't want to be caught without the armor. And when it comes time to do battle, and you know it, and you're right in the middle of it, you want that shield. Shield of faith. That faith that has been tried and tested and true. You want that helmet of salvation. You want that constant reminder of who you are, who you belong to. You want your eyes, ears, your nose, your mouth well protected so that you can see, hear, smell, and taste what's going on around you and respond appropriately. And then you want this. You want to be able to cut like only God's word can cut. You want to protect like only God's word can protect. You want to be useful. This is how we do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. Thank you for this armor. We need to be keenly aware that there are powers that would take us out if they could, that would sideline us if they could. There are temptations all around us that would rob us of our testimony and usefulness. Those powers are greater than we are in and of ourselves. Those powers have more influence than we can protect ourselves against in and of ourselves. But with your armor, and your word, we can not only be protected personally, we can do some serious damage against the powers of evil around us. What a blessing. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.